Welcome to your weekly update on all things tax. The Tax Factor from Blick Rothenberg, the tax, accounting and business advisory firm. This week with Heather Self and Roger Holman.
Welcome to The Tax Factor, the top 20 business and investment podcast series from Blick Rothenberg. Happy new tax year, and also to all those who celebrated Eid earlier this week. I'm Heather Self, and joining me again this week is Roger Holman from our tax team. There's quite a lot to talk about this week, particularly Labour have started coming out with some serious tax policy documents, and the Conservatives have had the odd proposal as well. But clearly, the first and most important item on the agenda is marshmallows. Roger, tell us about marshmallows.
Thanks, Heather. Yeah, not just any marshmallows, though, is it? It's the giant ones, or in this case, mega marshmallows. For those of us of a certain generation, this will bring back images of Ghostbusters and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And this wouldn't actually be that far from the facts of this case, especially once Venkman and the crew have roasted him with their proton packs. In this case, it's all around whether these particular items are confectionery or food roasting, because that actually has different VAT treatments. Without going into incredible detail on all the facts of the case, it actually turns out that the mega marshmallows, these giant marshmallows, are in fact food, not sweets. Now, the boring reason for that is that they're intended to be cooked before being eaten, just like the Stay Puft Man.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Roger. I'm sure we've got everybody hooked now, and I'm sure they're all enjoying VAT-free snacks as we speak. I'd just like to mention that my dogs eat sporting and working dog food because that's free of VAT as well. They don't do any work apart from lounging around, but there you go. Anyway, you were talking about ghostbusting, and I think Labour have been watching that film as well. They've got plans to bust some tax avoiders. They came out with a policy document which was widely covered in the press, and they're looking to raise $5 billion a year by the end of the next Parliament from cracking down on tax avoidance. Where have we heard that before? And I have to say, my initial reaction was, oh no, not again, because probably for the last 20 years or so, we've heard the same thing. And I do begin to wonder whether there is really that money to be had from cracking down on tax avoidance. But I've now had a chance to have a look at the policy document, and it's better than I expected, to be fair. Although the headlines are there about closing the tax gap, there's quite a lot about giving HMRC more money, improving customer service, doing better compliance, and also improving their digital offering. So I have to say, that's a pretty good set of objectives. Still not completely convinced the numbers will add up, but they're no worse than the current government makes up regularly. And the other thing that I spotted is that they have appointed an expert panel on tax. Now, that includes Edward Troop, who was the former head of HMRC, Bill Dodwell, who used to run the Office of Tax Simplification, Margaret Hodge, who's a senior Labour politician who's been a thorn in the side of HMRC for many years. They clearly want her inside the tent and giving political contributions rather than outside the tent and shouting about it. And they've also got the person who I think was the founder of the Government Digital Service. So again, they've pulled together some serious expertise there. So I think that's quite promising. We'll just have to see how it goes. And I think, Roger, they mentioned a few more bits about non-doms as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot about non-doms just lately, and I know Nimesh has previously spoken about the Chancellor's announcement on non-doms. However, of course, Rachel Reeves isn't ever one to let a non-dom opportunity slide, and recently, in fact this week, spoke out about her plans for non-doms. Now, they have come out on tax avoidance as usual and saying that the Chancellor has left policy gaps in his non-dom statement, particularly around IHT and trusts. Now, it's not really worth me going into great detail on these extra measures, but suffice to say, some of the international clients I deal with have already changed their plans on staying in the UK, or even those that were looking at moving here. I think we'll just need to wait and see how all of these plans play out longer term.
I think it's pretty clear that whichever party wins power, and it's looking like it's probably going to be Labour, but who knows until we actually get to election night, the non-dom regime is going to come in for fundamental change. And what I think is interesting is that Labour are now honing in not just on the income side, but the inheritance tax side of it. I do wonder whether they'll go as far as removing some of the double tax treaty advantages. I mean, just for example, if you had the wife of a senior politician who was domiciled in India, at the moment, they probably get inheritance tax protection under the UK-India treaty. It'd be interesting to see whether that goes as well.
That's right.
Short chuckle there from Roger in the corner. coming back to other things that the Conservative Party have been saying, both Rishi Sunak and Jeremy Hunt have, I think, recommitted to their idea of eventually abolishing national insurance. What do you think of that one, Roger? I mean, national insurance, it's just a tax, isn't it, really?
It is. It's a tax on earnings. And this is the confusing thing for me. It brings in a huge amount of income for the Exchequer as well. I think this year we're forecasted to raise around £1 trillion of income for the Exchequer, and national insurance raises about 16% of that. So that's about £160 billion. Scrapping £160 billion is quite a big hole to fill.
Talking about national insurance, of course, the people who don't pay national insurance at all are pensioners. And I presume they're all very happy this week because they've just had an 8.5% increase in the state pension following the implementation of the triple lock. Are they happy, Roger?
Well, a lot of them will be, but there will be quite a lot of pensioners that won't be happy because they'll find that now some of their state pension is actually taking them above the personal allowance. That's as a result of the personal allowance being frozen for so long. So now these pensioners are probably going to have to start filling in tax returns.
And I think that's a really good example of how something which is basically a good news story, that pensions have risen faster than average earnings for quite a while, and so they're coming into paying tax, conflicts with this freezing of the tax allowance. And I've seen quite a few comments on social media of, oh, the Chancellor gives us £75 with one hand and then he's taking it all away in tax. Of course, he's not taking it all away. He's only taking 20%, but they're still not exactly as happy as you might expect. I don't know, I'm sure you're younger than me, Roger, but we used to have a thing called investment income surcharge, didn't we? It does seem odd that the current tax system, you pay more tax if you include national insurance on earned income than you do on investment income or capital gains. Again, I do wonder whether Labour are going to take a look at that in the round.
It would seem a sensible thing for a left of centre government to have a look at, rather than allowing people to just pay less tax on money they don't earn.
And I think the overall message is that whoever wins the next election, it's not going to be possible to keep cutting taxes, otherwise we're going to end up back in the Liz Truss quasi Quarteng car crash of the markets not believing us and crashing again. There are some really tough decisions coming up, and it's not just going to be the odd even 5 billion that Labour are promising. It's going to have to be significant sums to fund the NHS, education, social care, all the other things that are crying out for money at the moment. I have to say, at the moment, I think I'm quite glad I'm not in politics.
Yes, although I think it would be quite nice to sometimes take away the idea of tax raising from the politicians. Everything seems to be a little bit too political.
Trouble with that, it's a bit like, should we have a president rather than a king or queen? It seems a good idea until you actually try to do it, and we might end up with the equivalent of Donald Trump, heaven help us. Anyway, one final mention, it wouldn't be the tax factor without mentioning high income child benefit charge. There's a consultation starting soon about moving that to a family income basis. Sounds great, would definitely be fairer, but believe it or not, it'll be more complicated. And some figures that I think were done by the Institute for Fiscal Studies showed that if you're not going to put up the overall amount of the benefit, you'd have about 500,000 winners and 500,000 losers. Do you think it'll happen, Roger?
I think it was looked at when it was originally introduced, wasn't it, Heather? And I think at that time it was put onto the too hard pile. I think it will stay on that too hard pile.
We will just have to see. That's about all we've got time for this week, unless there's any more interesting VAT cases. There was a customs duty one on cat toys, would you believe it, whether or not they are furniture or fabric-covered items. I think we'll just leave that one be. If you've enjoyed this podcast, we also have another podcast series called Brave Business, which is hosted by journalist and broadcaster Declan Curry. We've just released a new episode looking at the UK's research and development tax regime. What is it? How does it work? And how and why is it changing? What does all that mean for entrepreneurial businesses, and how can they improve their chances of qualifying for this essential relief?
I've already had a listen to that podcast, Heather, and it's really interesting. Great to hear Chris Heath, one of our managers, making his podcast debut. You can find it wherever you find the Tax Factor and on our website.
My thanks to Roger for joining me today. I'm Heather Self. We're off to eat some Jaffa cakes and toast some large marshmallows. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your weekend and goodbye.
That's the Tax Factor. We'd like to thank you for making us one of the UK's top 20 podcasts. Find all our previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and join us again next time on the Tax Factor.